Let me say this right off the top then. We are called to live out of the love of God in us and not from our own resources. I'll say it again. We're called to live out of the love of God in us and not our own resources. I mentioned that last Sunday. This is shocking. This is revelation, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. We're called to live out of the love of God in us and not our own resources. You are tired, you're worn out, and you might even be skeptical if you're trying to live out of your own resources. That's law covenant living, and you get a rock and you write 10 rules on it and say, live by this or die. Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey, under the law covenant, the command was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor thyself, or die. Used three times, including by James, the brother of Jesus, in the New Testament, many times in the Old. You love God or die. Well, you have to talk to people like that who don't have the Holy Ghost inside them.
Right.
You do. Yeah. But what does he say to us? I don't know if we're going to get there, but I'll do my best. In Ephesians chapter 3, says, you know, I've got a prayer for you, Ephesian church members. I want you to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and for that to happen, you're going to have to invite the Holy Spirit into your heart and learn about the whole process of the thing. I mean, Christ into your heart, and the Holy Spirit will help you and empower you to do that. The Christian life isn't about my good intentions, my sincerity, or my perfection. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. A miraculous thing. And you know, it sounds awfully like everything else being said, but it's got a shift in it that'll change your life forever if you'll catch it. We're not living out of our own resources, or we're back to works. I don't mean you don't try this and do that and press into that and discipline yourself on this and ignore that and, okay, we'll do that three times, we'll never do that again. That's just the discovery process of life. Lost people can do that too.
Yeah.
But we're drawing from a different place.
Yes.
It used to be of my own efforts, of my own works, of my own merit. And I'll tell you one thing else that this man brings out beautifully in his book, another book. It used to make me feel good to be doing what is right. Now I'm going to give you a quiz, and you don't put your hands up. Does doing good still make you feel good? Because if it does, I want to ask you a question. Jesus said there's no one good at all but God, your Father. And any good you ever do will be a product of the Holy Spirit. So should you really be feeling good? Well, in a way you should, but I'll tell you what, the way most people feel good about it, you shouldn't.
Right.
Which you've now just placed your whole standing with God on a different level. He was good today and he feels good. Like that helped you get saved? Like that'll help you keep saved? Like that'll impress God? You'll say, oh, wonderful Frederick over here was good today. I've been praying for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your part in this. Oh, God. Oh, he's God. He doesn't say that. Oh, my. Please deliver me from your religious spirit. And you go down just as far.
It's true.
I better shut up. There's no basement here, and there's no button that you can press and push me into a hole. I'm going to quote from James Bryan Smith. Actually, you need to buy this book more than likely. It's called Embracing the Love of God, The Path and Promise of Christian Life. He says things here that are very honest and very beautiful. He's talking now about his experience. I want to read this to you from his book, as I said, Embracing the Love of God by James Bryant Smith. I see now how foolish it was to think that my feeble attempts at righteousness had anything to do with how God feels about me. I should charge you for this, you know that? I mean, God gets this offering. I should charge you for this good news. I mean, where to find this book? No, I'm kidding. Let me read this again. I see now how foolish it was to think that my feeble attempts at righteousness had anything to do with how God feels about me. For too long I was impressed with my commitment to Christ. Now I am only impressed with Christ's commitment to me. My previous focus had been on my decision for Jesus. Now I am concentrating on his decision for me. By shifting the focus away from myself and onto Christ and his love for me, I've noticed that everything comes into view. When Martin Luther was suffering under the weight of guilt, his spiritual director, Johannes Staupitz, said, "Martin, quit looking at your sin and start looking at Jesus." When Luther turned his eyes to Christ, the reformation of his spiritual life began. The effect of the shift were farther reaching than he could ever have imagined. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God, St. Paul reminded the Romans when he wrote, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, as you know.